You're listening to Bad Trip, the true crime and other weird shit podcast where two sisters take you on a wild ride through some of the world's most fucked up places. Each episode, we journey to a new location and explore its sordid past, creepiest urban legends, and landmarks you won't find in the guidebooks. So buckle up, because it's about to be a bad trip.
We interrupt this program because the civil authorities have issued a contagious disease warning.
911, where is your emergency?
The U.S. Navy has finally acknowledged that videos appearing to show UFOs flying through the air are real.
Initially, many thought the pops they heard were fireworks associated with the show, but soon it became obvious that this was an attack.
Howdy doody, everyone.
Howdy doody. I'm a Taylor.
I'm Shauna.
Welcome to our podcast.
All right, that's the end of that.
Never again.
Welcome to Bad Trip. We're back in Idaho this week.
Yay, episode 27.
Oh, damn.
I know.
It just keeps getting bigger. It's crazy how that works.
It's amazing.
So, yeah, we're in Idaho this week. And last week, we introduced you to Idaho. Taylor gave you a very depressing story about a missing kid. And then this week, we're going to do some quick little detours.
Yeah, we're going to give you some little stories. And we kind of went different direction, I think, both of us this week than we have been lately.
Yeah, so I'm going to start us off. But before I do, I would like to give a quick little disclaimer. This is a true crime podcast, but we also talk about paranormal stuff, other weird stuff, just interesting things that strike our fancy. And we like to make jokes and kind of be lighthearted. So, you know, some people don't like that sort of comedy, true crime stuff together. If that's not your thing, that's fine. This is not the podcast for you. We also swear and we're inappropriate and whatever.
Yeah. So deal with it or get out.
Yep. I was like,
okay, how about we listen to your story?
All right, let's do it. So today I'm going to tell you about a church that's on a mission to convert an entire city.
Ew.
Yeah. But first, I want to give credit to two writers who I got a lot of this information from. So thank you to Tracy Simmons for a 2019 article in Word and Way. Mm. And Nick Greyer, a U of I professor who actually taught the subject of this story back in the 70s.
Ooh, wowza.
Yeah.
Oh, back in the 70s, this is old.
It's not old. It's like spanning a period of time.
Oh, okay.
So you can also see the rest of the sources on our episode guide at badtrippod.com, and there's also a link in the show notes.
Check them out.
Now on to the story. So you might remember in the last episode, I talked about how Idaho is an extremely conservative state.
I remember.
It's also a pretty religious state.
Shocking. Those things normally don't go together.
I know, wild.
Wow.
So one notable exception is the city of Moscow, which is a small city in northern Idaho, right on the border of Washington.
Mm.
And it has a population of around 26,000 people, 10,000 of which are students at the University of Idaho.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, so it's like a college town.
Gotcha.
Only 30% of people in Moscow consider themselves religious, compared to 73% of people in Idaho overall.
Oh, okay, wait, so Moscow isn't religious.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought it was extra religious.
No, I know. I said one exception.
Oh, yeah. My bad. That's a big difference.
Yeah. And 73% in Idaho overall, like that's pretty comparable to the rest of the U.S. But I think like there's a lot more evangelicals in Idaho than a lot of the country.
I don't really know what that means.
What do you mean?
Like, I don't. Why does it matter that they're evangelical? Does that mean they're more like.
Evangelicals are like the really hardcore ones, like evangelical Christians. They not only believe their shit, but they believe that they need to spread it and like, you know, that Christianity, like everyone needs to be Christian, basically.
Oh, OK.
And fire and brimstone a lot of the time. Ooh, just a lot of that.
Like Baptist kind of.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know much about Christianity other than we went to church growing up.
But... You said evangelical and I'm like, I mean, I've heard of that, but I literally know nothing. So like when you were like, oh, yeah, they're especially evangelical. I was like, OK.
Yeah. So they're not it's not like Catholics. It's not like. You know, Protestants. Well, it is Protestants, but it's like hardcore ones.
Yeah, okay. It's like that lady that made us say the Lord's Prayer before she donated cans to us.
No, she made us take Jesus into our hearts before she gave us Halloween candy.
No, this is a late. Oh, wait, no, a different time was Claudia and I. Holy shit.
Okay, that wasn't me then. Yeah.
Wait, that means there were two times in the bay.
I bet it was the same lady. Was it in the subdivision, like around the bend by Abby's, kind of?
I know exactly where the thing that we did was, but I don't remember exactly where Claudia was.
Okay.
But we got denied donations for the homeless because we wouldn't accept Jesus. And I think we peed our pants in the street. I'm not kidding.
Do you mean you peed your pants?
I think we laughed so hard that had just happened to us that we peed our pants.
Oh,
and we like,
my God,
had a wagon. I don't know. Claudia, am I making this up? I don't know. Anyways.
Oh, wow. Okay. So evangelicals.
Yes.
They crazy.
They cray.
Fun fact, this area that is now Moscow was once called Hog Heaven.
Yeah. They should switch it back to that.
I agree. Then it was changed to Paradise Valley and then it became known as Moscow.
Oh, that's an interesting journey of names.
And I think I'm saying it right. Moscow, that's what it said online. I keep wanting to say Moscow, but I don't think that's right.
Okay. Is it spelled the same?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it seems like a really lovely place, honestly. Its motto is Heart of the Arts, and it was named Idaho's most walkable city.
Mm.
And it also has a very low crime rate. So it seems like a nice little, you know, small city, large town kind of area.
Interesting.
Of course, conservative Christians want to swoop in and fuck it all up.
Well, that's what they do best.
It is. So it all started back in the 1950s when a Navy vet named Jim Wilson started writing a book called Principles of War, a handbook on strategic evangelism.
Mm, strategic.
Yeah. So the book, which he published in 1964, was all about using military tactics to spread Christianity in a really efficient way. So I don't mean like bombing people.
I was going to say shoot someone if they won't take your religion.
No, but he's probably not opposed to it. No, but it's more about, you know, like the
guerrilla warfare.
Exactly.
Trench warfare.
Yeah. And being sneaky and like finding ways to infiltrate the enemy and to turn them Christian.
Dang. There they go again.
I know. They always want to do that. So one of his ideas was to focus on college towns. In the 70s, he opened a bookstore in Moscow, Idaho, where he aimed to sneakily convert young people in the city to Christianity.
And the bookstore only had his book.
Yeah, just on every single shelf.
And it was like displayed as different genres, but it's still all his book.
They're like slightly different covers. Yes. And yeah.
With different prices, depending on everything.
There's like a coloring book version.
Oh my gosh.
So that was the second bookstore. He actually had one in Washington, too, right across the border in another college town. So he was just sort of like really spreading this whole thing.
Fantastic. I guess that one was doing well enough that he wanted to start another, or was he just like ballsy?
Unsure.
Okay.
So around that same time, Jim Wilson's son, Douglas, who's the main character of this story, was a student at U of I in Moscow. Douglas was an evangelical Christian like his dad, but his approach to converting people was much less subtle.
Oh, no.
Religion News Service quoted Douglas Wilson as saying that
Moscow,
saying that Moscow is basically a, quote, blue dot in a very, very red state, and the blue dotters are pleased.
Okay.
So they're proud of being liberal, and he does not like that.
Then you can go to school elsewhere.
Yeah. Right. So in 1977, he founded a church called Christ Church and became a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
He actually took over a church that already existed, and it had several different names, but eventually became Christ Church.
Okay. This guy sounds fun.
Yeah. He sounds like a great guy.
I'm gonna invite him to parties.
I'm going to show you some pictures now of Pastor Doug and of the church. So if you guys want to see these pictures, you can check them out for yourself at Bad Trip Pod on Instagram or our episode guide at badtrippod.com. So this is Doug J. Wilson.
I'm so turned off right now. It's unbelievable.
He's like trying to look hot.
And does he have a cigarette in his hand?
I believe so, yeah.
He's like, I don't smoke cigarettes. I smoke Bible verses. It's like a page of the Bible rolled up.
It probably is. He's puffing on that Jesus juice.
Oh, ew, Jesus juice.
Yeah, it's like an e-cig, you know, it's like a vape.
Oh, I was thinking, yeah, you know, the other Jesus juice.
Like, never mind.
yeah, like that.
Yeah, so can you just like give a little description of him for the audience, please?
Unfortunately, I can. So he's a white guy. He has a hunchback with a really tall collar that's popped.
He doesn't have a hunchback. He has bad posture.
Okay, well, he has bad posture. He kind of looks like he's a hunchback a little. And he's holding a cigarette Bible verse. And he has this comb over hair. And he has this matching beard, mustache situation.
He just looks like you'd expect him to look.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I don't like him.
And this was a picture that he, it was like a press picture when he debated Christopher Hitchens, who's like a well-known atheist guy.
Okay.
Debated him back in the day, several years ago.
Hmm.
So this was his promo pic.
Well, they should have told him to stand up straight.
And then here's a screenshot of a video from Christchurch. This was in June, and this is where they're gathering maskless.
I mean, there's so many people.
Praising the Lord.
And it's inside. It's like, this is an auditorium just full of recycled air, COVID air,
mm-hmm.
Jesus air, evangelical air.
Yeah. So there's, for reference, there's like two locations for the church. One is downtown, and it's smaller. And then this is at a school that is like a religious school that he, I don't know, co-founded or whatever.
And they like book bigger stuff there and things like
they
that?
They do. They have like one service at the small church and two services at the big church every week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this is the big one.
I wonder which one he does his thing at.
Yeah, I couldn't find that information, but I also didn't look that hard.
I also assume it's the big one because more people are probably like horny for him.
Yeah, that's so true.
More business. Oh, I love that they just get freaking tax breaks.
Oh, I know. That's so great. So fun for everyone involved.
Yeah, so nice.
And his brand of Christianity is exceptionally hateful.
Oh.
Yeah. So he's racist, homophobic, transphobic, misogynistic, just horrible in like all the ways.
Fuck this dude hard.
Yeah. Except don't fuck him because he doesn't deserve it.
Fook him right in his evangelical booty.
So he in some ways like kind of tries to cover up his hatred with like flowery language and tries to sound like a little pseudo intellectual. Mm. I mean, he's not pseudo intellectual. He like is educated and studied philosophy and like whatever. So he like back in the day, he was a lot more open about his views. He's still very open about them, but now he like is a little bit better at like couching them in other shit, you know, like mm-hmm. trying to be a little sneaky about it. But like he's still blatantly hateful and stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know, whatever.
He just sucks.
Yeah, he does. So he has a blog that he posts on basically every day, and he loves posting boomer memes on Twitter.
Ew. Do you know how old he is?
Yeah, he's in his, I want to say he's 68. He's in his 60s.
Okay.
He has also written several books, including his most infamous one about how slavery wasn't that bad.
Oh my God, the fucking nerve.
I know. As it turns out, that book was also partially plagiarized.
Okay, so you're like 76 kinds of douchebag at this point.
I know, he just keeps stacking them on.
Ew, I'm assuming he never found love.
No, he's married with kids.
Ew, she sucks too.
She does. So for context, I want to read you a few things he's said over the years. I guess just a warning for all of this that it's horrible.
Okay.
But like some of it's a little funny.
We can laugh at some of the horrible stuff. We have to.
Uh-huh. Okay, so he said, "The Bible is a sexist book, and that fact alone should make Christians want to acknowledge that sexism has to be a virtue."
Oh, no.
Yeah, so he's pro-sexism.
Uh-huh.
He gave a whole talk about it at the University of Idaho, and some students came to, like, support him, but most were protesting.
Why did they allow him to speak there?
I don't know. I think it's, like, this is a total guess. I didn't read the article in detail, honestly. There were a lot of articles about this man. So I would assume, because this is usually what happens, is that like a student group will pay to have him come on campus and speak.
Yeah.
And they can't really discriminate unless someone's like trying to incite violence or whatever, because it's a public university.
That's true. So it's not like the school hired him probably from like the administration's office.
It was
probably like a student campus group that were like, we need more Republicans.
Exactly. That's my guess.
And it was probably his son or his old ass dad.
He does have a child, not sure, I think it's his son, but not positive, who is the author of like Christian fiction novels, I believe. Who knows? Some shit like that.
Ugh, well, I hope it's his son. Someone has to continue that family name.
Amen. So another quote from him, he said, "Slavery produced in the South a genuine affection between the races that we believe we can say has never existed in any nation before the war," meaning the Civil War, "or since." So he said slavery brought the races together.
Mm-hmm. And then never before, never since.
Mm-mm, no, it's all gone downhill from there.
But it's fine anyways, even if it was, because slavery wasn't bad.
Well, it's very complicated. I read like a lot about his opinions on this and they don't make any fucking sense. But like it's a little more complex than that, but like not really.
Yeah, I feel like he can't get much more complex.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like he tries to have this logical reasoning behind it and make it seem like it's an intellectual, like biblical argument. But I'm like, you're just fucking stupid.
You just hate people for dumb reasons.
Yeah.
Like, ugh.
He also, in response to the question, "Do you think supporting same-sex marriage is a more serious problem than supporting slavery?" he said, "Yes, far more serious." So he thinks gay marriage is way worse than slavery.
Oh.
Yeah. And this is like, that was on his website. Like, he
is like promoting this.
Yes.
He's like, look at what I said. He's like fucking Trump. He's like, look at all these smart things I said. Right? And it's like gibberish and like not even real letters. And it's like the Zodiac killer, but it's right, fine.
Just symbols on a piece of paper.
Yeah. And it's just like Sharpie drawings with his little hands. I just can't.
That was my psycho thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good. And this guy just fucking sucks so hard. I hope he didn't get COVID.
I hope not.
Wink, wink.
And then my final quote from him is, men run on respect and wives run on love.
Okay.
You know, the two genders, men and wives.
I'm dead. Well, a woman has no point in being alive if she's not a wife.
Good Lord. Okay, so this guy's like done a whole bunch of shit. I'm not going to get into it. He's like founded different schools, a publishing company of some sort. I don't know. He's like spreading his bullshit all over the world at this point.
He's spreading his seed.
Ew. His Christian seed.
His Christian seed is all over the world.
There have been multiple accusations of child abuse made against men in the church. One man was convicted, another was not, but Pastor Doug continued to be friendly with both of them.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, it probably says you can beat your child in the Bible.
Well, there's some controversy that some say he's advocated for child abuse, and he's like, no, I haven't, but like he probably has.
I'm like, Google it and go to like the 45th page. And right. I bet we'll find it.
Yeah. So he's just like all the bad things you can say he's probably said.
Great.
Today, between Christchurch and its sister church in town, about 1,300 people in Moscow are part of the congregation. That's about 1 in 20.
Ugh, stop.
So, yeah. So it's not like massive, but definitely a sizable group.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 1 in 20, it weirds me out because then think of how many college kids, you said like 10,000.
Yeah.
So think of how many like young people are getting sucked into this shit.
Yeah. Like, I bet it's disproportionately older people, but
most likely.
But yeah, that's so true. A lot of local businesses are owned by church members, and there's this sort of like conspiracy rumor around town that he's basically helping people or allegedly telling them to buy these businesses so they can sort of like control the town.
Gross. Which
literally he said his goal was to turn the town Christian and basically control it. So
yeah, I mean, I guess he's doing what he said.
Right. So yeah, a lot of people will actively avoid shopping at those places because they don't want to support them.
Amen.
According to Pastor Doug, this tension in town is a reflection of what's happening across the country because we're in, quote, a slow motion civil war with no bullets.
Okay, there are bullets. Also,
I don't know.
People get shot.
Yeah, people do. That's so true.
So you stupid fucking idiot, like at least look at the news.
So in September 2020, a few months ago, the church organized an anti-mask protest at City Hall.
Please don't wear masks just around each other.
Right, right.
I bet they were all like going to the Golden Corral and sticking their tongues in the chocolate fountain and then like, I don't know, touching the same Bible and then like jerking off later.
You know they were.
Yeah, and they all
allegedly,
hopefully got COVID.
Yeah, so the whole city of Moscow has a mandatory mask policy when you're in public or when you're in large groups.
Mm-hmm.
The church has not been following this. They had actually a gathering of 1,000 people over the summer, and it looked like there was not a mask in sight. I'm sure there were a couple, but...
Rude!
Yeah, and the city has actually extended this ordinance, I think, through, like, I want to say April at this point, maybe even June.
My whole thing is, if nothing happened to them, it's pointless. Why do you even have an ordinance if you're not going to get them in trouble?
Right, I totally agree.
Stop wasting your time and acting like you care.
Yeah, so basically with this protest, what happened was 150 people showed up maskless and sang hymns at City Hall. 3 people were arrested and 5 more were given citations, but, like, nothing else really happened. And because there was like no really reaction, like mm-hmm. only a couple people got arrested, they did it again 2 days later, and this time they had 400 people. Somehow no one was arrested that time.
Shocking.
I know. And it was such a big thing that Trump even tweeted about it.
Ew, really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm going to show you actually a photo. It's a screenshot of a video of some people getting arrested at the first protest.
Okay. And this was just because they were maskless or they were like rowdy?
I'm not actually sure about the details of why these specific people got arrested.
Yeah. I feel like if they're arresting people just because they weren't wearing masks, everyone would be arrested or at least have a citation.
Right.
So like, I feel like they must have done something else.
Yeah, I think they must have.
Or they just,
who knows?
You know, kind of were like pick and choose.
Right. Like, let's make an example out of some people.
Out of 7 people.
Well, one of the people who got arrested was like a deacon in the church, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the charges were eventually dropped. So
A deacon to me sounds like he's working in a lighthouse.
It does sound like that, like a beacon.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, it's a religious figure of sorts. Wow, this is eek. Yeah, so there are some police officers wearing masks, arresting a few peeps. It's, I mean, quite a few young people.
Every single person is white.
Oh, every person. But I mean, basically at Idaho.
Yeah, in Idaho. Yeah. So after this protest, the Moscow Pullman Daily News published a letter to the editor that was essentially like, dude, if I tried to go to their church naked, they'd probably call the cops. So like, why do they get to go in public without masks and say it's their right? Like,
yeah. Amen.
Yeah. And accurate. That's all I have to say about that.
Like, I can't have my titties out, but you can have your lips out.
Right. No one wants to see your crusty lips. Yeah. You don't even wear chapstick, you sicko.
Oh, it's a pandemic. Put those crusty lips away.
Ugh. So clearly. Oh, never mind. I just got so mad because I just pictured, you know, when people talk and they have that like gross like in the corner of their lips. And look, it happens to everyone sometimes, but I feel like it happens to bigots more often.
And old white men, like really old white men with the eyebrows I mentioned episode that you got mad at me about.
Because I just, okay, whatever. So that's pretty much it. Like Christchurch is still going strong. Pastor Doug is now 67 years old. That's how old he is.
Okay.
And you can find him at church every week on, as he calls it, the Lord's Day.
The Lord's Day. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's that. If you guys go to that church, no, I'm just kidding. If you go to that church, please don't listen to this podcast.
Yeah, please stop.
Actually, I hope he listens. I hope he finds this and listens. Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up? You suck and move on and get a new hobby.
Yeah. Stop smoking on those Bible verses, bro.
Stop it. You're hurting everyone and yourself the most.
I smoke clowns like you on the b-ball court.
I could not.
All right. Anyway, we're going to take a quick ad break and then come back for Taylor's story.
I thought you were going to say quick ass break. Get a bucket and a mop for this quick ass break.
Yes.
Welcome.
Welcome to myself.
Welcome, Shauna and everybody else, to the Ghosts of Idaho State University.
Ooh.
Ooh. So, it is rumored that there are ghosts at Idaho State University on the Pocatello, Idaho campus. They have three different campus locations, so these are all on the Pocatello campus.
Okay.
And by rumors, I mean, the actual university webpage has multiple pages and accounts of paranormal sightings or interactions.
On their website?
Yeah, on their like university website, there's a thing called ghost maps. And we'll link it in, you know, our sources and everything. But you should check it out. It's cool.
I love that.
So in the words of Charlie Day, ghouls?
Ghouls?
I just had to say that because I love it.
Actually, real quick, when I was looking for ideas for this episode, I went on TikTok and I was searching like Idaho legends. And there was this TikTok about how a cryptid in Idaho is the ghoul.
Ooh, I didn't even see that.
Yeah, so I don't know. Who knows if that's right? I didn't even watch the video, but.
Well, if you guys are interested, look that up. We know nothing. Pocatello, Idaho is in southeastish Idaho. In 2010, its population was just over 54,000. And the grand total of all students at ISU Pocatello was about 12,500.
Okay.
So, like, weirdly similar to yours.
I was going to say, it's interesting that we both did, like, college towns.
Yeah, and it's kind of, like, the same, because wasn't yours about 50,000?
No, it was actually, like, 25,000 or something.
Oh, okay, less. Okay. I also wanted to mention that I got most of my information from the ISU website and an article for The Bangle, which is the ISU newspaper, written by Jenna Crow in 2016.
Sweet.
Sweet. And before I start with the specific stories, I want to show you the map of where on campus these spooky situations occurred.
All right.
So if you want to look at my photos, you'll see the little orange spots, and that's like where all the shit went down. And again, you can check out our photos on our Instagram at badtrippod or our website, badtrippod.com.
It's interesting that one of the dots is bigger. Does that mean there was more activity there?
I'm not really sure. I didn't know why they had different sizes. But there are a couple that seem to have more activity or like more
hauntings,
like more specific activity. Kind okay. Of. Like some are just like footsteps and all that, but some have like specific ghosts.
OK, cool. Well, I'm excited to hear about them.
First, let's talk about Fraser Hall and the prankster ghost named Alex that haunts it. Legend says that many moons ago, a professor would bring her son, Alex, to work. And he liked it so much that he kept coming back even after he died.
Ooh, did he die as a kid?
I think so. I don't know. It really didn't say.
So we're just going to decide to believe that he did.
Well, yeah, he's a kid. So, I mean, he's a kid ghost. So I'm assuming he died as a kid. He loves to play tricks on the living, Public safety officers have reported Alex opening and closing doors on them after they have already cleared that area, and footsteps are heard running around the fourth floor. Like little kid footsteps.
Creepy.
Other unseen presences have been heard practicing their piano playing skills and pursuing their love of the theater.
Pursuing their piano playing
pills, skills. And they're known to appear and sit in the audience during a show, like apparitions and shit.
Ooh.
And they usually sit in the top level. So Carl Weinig, an ISU custodian.
I thought you were going to say Wiener.
I was not, no. Weinig, an ISU custodian, always believed that kids were making the noises and pulling pranks. So he didn't believe in anything paranormal.
So he, what do you mean? Oh, like college kids, not like the kid, not like Alex.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was just like, there were always noises in the theater. And he was like, that's just students fucking around.
Got it. Not ghost kids.
No, no, no. Just the one ghost kid. So yeah, he didn't believe in anything being paranormal. But one night that changed. It was around 11 p.m. when he was cleaning on the first floor of Frasier, right underneath the Black Box Theater, when he heard people running up and down the bleachers. He ran upstairs to try and catch the kids in the act, but said the door was shut and the lights were turned off. I know every part of that room and there was no one there.
Ooh, so spooky.
I love it when like something convinces a skeptic to switch over.
Yes, that's the best.
Another time, one evening around midnight, a 911 call was made from the building, so an officer went over immediately. Good for them. When he opened the door, he heard a woman screaming, but when the officer and the backup he had called for searched for her, there was no one inside.
That's terrifying. I bet there's actually just like a dead woman somewhere.
No, she would have been found by now.
I don't know.
Also, a piece of advice if you go to ISU, when driving past Frasier Hall in the R1 lot, don't look at the top middle window because apparently there's a woman who is watching you.
Why wouldn't you want to look at that?
I know. I literally, like, you have to 100% go look at the window.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's Frasier Hall.
I'm like, if you're watching me, I want to watch you watching me.
Exactly. I want you to know that I'm looking at you, knowing that you're looking at me, knowing I'm looking at you back.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Next, we're moving on to Gravely Hall.
These are all silly names.
I know.
Well, Frasier's not that weird. It just makes me think of the TV show, but Gravely.
Gravely. It opened first as a women's dorm, so the basement that's now full of offices was formerly a cafeteria, and custodians have heard the sound of people while walking to the basement. So, like, they just hear people in the cafeteria, old cafeteria area.
Ooh, like making cafeteria noises?
I guess so. I think so.
They hear, like, forks scraping on plates.
Yeah. Someone eating mashed potatoes.
I don't know what that sounds like, but
it's a vibe. You can just tell. A strong presence is said to be felt in Gravely. Just locked windows have been found open only a few minutes later when no one else, living that is, was inside.
Dun, dun, dun. I was just thinking about how in college when I had like the AV job where I'd have to go around and like, you know, set up computers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
On days where I worked till like 10 or whatever, I would have to go around and like shut down the classrooms.
Eek.
And there was this one building that I would have to go to where there was never anybody in it at that time of night. I was the only one. I would have to go turn all the lights off.
Hell
and
no.
It was like nothing freaky ever happened, but it was still just scary in general.
Ooh, I feel like when I'm in a dark, alone, big space like that, or, you know, creepy big space, my heart just gets so tight. I'm like, I can't do this. Even if I'm not really scared.
Yeah.
It's like panic inducing.
I used to have fun. I liked it because it would like just be a little weird thrill at the end of my night.
Ooh.
I don't know. And like I said, nothing weird ever happened.
Yeah.
But it was like an old building and it's just kind of cool to be like, I'm the only one here right now. Like I can do whatever I want. And then I don't do anything. I just like
sit around.
Right.
It's like being in the elementary school when it was just us. Like
yeah,
on the weekends.
Exactly.
It was the most exciting thing in the world.
Yes. That's how I felt.
Okay.
Exactly. So that's probably how the ghosts feel. That's why they go back.
Yeah. They're like, we were here first. Rude. In Gravely, there's also a friendly entity that has been known to open doors for the living, which aww, I think is sweet. Apparently, World War II veterans who used to stay at Gravely Hall came back for a tour where they, of course, ended up reminiscing on their old days, the fun they had when they were students there. When they got to the second floor, the mood drastically changed and they found themselves only speaking about deaths that had happened there, causing them to want to leave immediately.
Ew.
Yeah, isn't that gross? Like something took over and they could only think about the deaths like and talk about them. That's so icky.
Ew, I hate that. I like how you specified that they were World War II veterans. It like sets up the story to be even creepier because like they've seen some shit.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. World War II saw some shit. So if you're spooked from ghosts. Also on the second floor, doors, footsteps and thumping noises can often be heard. Oh, and Carl Weinig, Carl Wiener, the man that I mentioned before, the custodian, also had a paranormal experience where they were in Gravely. So he was definitely a believer at that point.
Ooh, okay.
So he was like, yeah, I gotta believe this shit now. He claims there was a closet that gave him a spooky feeling, similar to the feeling you get when someone that's very angry with you stares at you.
Oh, that's freaky.
I know, it's such a specific feeling that I'm like, I have to believe you.
Ooh, that's eerie. I don't like that.
Yeah, so when he asked another custodian, he was told that a student had hung himself in that closet.
Mm, interesting.
Right? Okay, we're moving on to the administration building. The administration building isn't the most haunted building on campus, but it'll do, folks. It's unclear how many ghosts supposedly live in the basement, but custodians have reported strange noises during the night and doors shutting themselves.
I'm like, who are the custodians reporting this to? They're like calling up the administration like, I want to let you know you have ghosts in your basement.
No, they report it to the campus officers and stuff. They have them come check it out because they're like, ew, scary.
Yeah, that's true, because they're probably like, there's a fucking person in here, dude.
Yeah, or hey, someone's screaming bloody murder. Can you help?
Yeah.
There's also a specific ghost of an older gentleman that stays next to the bathrooms outside of payroll. And you can tell he's around when it smells like tobacco. Basically, I picture Abby from Broad City as Val as the smoking payroll ghost.
Yes, I love that.
So, yeah, that's the administration building. Hang out in the Roy F. Christensen complex and you might come across Frank, who was said to be more of a bystander than an actual threat. Over many years, people have seen a figure out of the corner of their eye, but a person is never actually there. He also allegedly gets a kick out of knocking utensils like knives and ladles off the wall.
Why are there knives and ladles on the wall?
You know, in like a kitchen, like things are hung up.
Oh, you didn't specify that it was a kitchen.
Oh, okay. Well, my bad. Moses Collier, a custodian who had been working at ISU for 7 years at the time of the interview that I got this information from, who actually worked in the kitchen, said, "The floor is concrete, not like wood that can shake things when you walk, and you can give a wide berth when you pass. Frank will knock 3 or 4 ladles off the wall."
Fucking Frank.
I know. Running footsteps and slamming doors can also be heard throughout the halls. Wow, Frank, super original.
Yeah, Frank needs to get his shit together.
He really does.
I'm like, ugh.
Finally, even though there are more sightings than what I'm telling you today, I'm going to finish up with something that's my jam. Welcome, metaphorically, to the Gale Life Sciences Complex. Bodies go in and out of the biology building all the time. These bodies bring with them the spirits they used to hold. There's a rumor saying one cadaver was cursed and the cursed spirit still haunts the Gale Life Sciences Complex. And because of this, students don't like to be alone and they even walk out of the building in groups now.
Ooh. So they have like bodies, what, for like students to dissect or do whatever they do with?
Yeah. So actually, my next thing is that many noises have been heard in the cadaver lab area. So it's a cadaver lab for students that, you know, need to practice. I'm assuming, I don't know specifically on the school, but sometimes it's plastic surgery students. Sometimes it's like actual just surgeons. It just depends.
Or just like biology probably,
yeah,
too, right?
Or morticians. Anyone that has to take anatomy is going to have to use the cadaver lab probably.
Ooh. And so they believe that every single body coming in brings its own spirit and it's just full of fucking spirits all the time.
Yeah, I think so. Because it just said these bodies bring with them the spirits they used to hold.
Hmm.
And like that was from the university website too.
I love it. I love how they're saying it like it's a fact.
I know. That's my favorite thing. I'm like, you guys love this.
Not like it is said. They're just like, no, this is what's happening.
There are spirits in and out of here. So finally, one creepy ass early morning, an officer heard tink, tink, tink coming from the lab when no one else was in the area at all. Heebs.
Sounds like some water dripping or something.
Sounds like a body trying to get out of a freezer to me. Tink, 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 let me out. Okay, anyways, that's it.
Wow.
You can go look at my photos again. It's pretty cool because the school had put out these kind of spooky Halloween looking photos, you know, that are like edited with the moon and everything. And they put that out on their ghost page. So it's like the background of the different buildings as you scroll through the ghost map.
Oh, that's so funny because you see this picture right next to this like bright picture in the day, this bright white building.
Yes.
Just looks like fresh and happy and cheerful.
Exactly.
So that's Fraser Hall that we're talking about right now.
Oh, yeah. Fraser Hall.
Oh, my God. Same thing with Gravely Hall. This is so silly. I love it.
It also looks like Williams Bay Elementary on the right.
It kind of does. It also gives me vibes of like the Matilda school.
Ooh, that too. I like the picture someone did of like the old photo held up like
yes.
the same spot.
I love when people do that.
So good.
The administration building. Oh, my God. I love that you put a picture of Abby/Val.
I had to.
These are all like big old brick buildings. They're pretty.
Yeah, they're really pretty. And obviously haunted.
Obviously. Oh, this one's not so pretty.
Yeah, that's the Roy F. Christensen complex.
It looks like an ugly apartment building.
Exactly.
And then, yeah, this one too is like also not as pretty, but just like looks like a college building.
Mm-hmm.
Who would know that there were ghouls and ghosts inside?
Spooky spirits and hauntings and eebie jeebies and goosebumps and
goosebumps.
Bugoosebumps. The Bugoosebumps. Anyways, that is the end.
Woo, that was lovely.
If anyone goes there and has ghost stories, can you email us?
Yeah, if you get the Bugoosebumps from this place, let us know.
Or if you get Bugoosebumps anywhere, we still want to know.
Yeah, just, you know, shout out to us. Shout out to us.
Shout out to us.
You can email us at badtrippod@gmail.com if you would like. If you have any stories or just want to say hey.
If you hate us and you want to say go fuck yourselves, please do it there and not on the reviews page on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah. And if you do love us or just, you know, tolerate us, we would love a positive review on Apple Podcasts because it helps other people find us.
Yeah. And I have stickers I want to get out. So keep a lookout for those.
If you want some, follow our Instagram at badtrippod and we'll tell you there how to get them. And we'll also talk about it on the podcast next week.
Yeah, so I guess that's it.
That is it.
Thank you for joining us on our detour. That was fun.
Yeah, so next time, what are we going to talk about?
I'm going to do some of our pit stops and our weird laws that exist in Idaho. Hopefully some potato things. But I will avoid the potato things you got last time.
Yeah, but there's infinitely more potato things.
There must be. And then you're going to give us something.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about a crime.
A crime.
A crime. It's actually also potato related.
Oh my God, obsessed. I couldn't be happier. Let's eat potatoes next week.
It'll be like ASMR. We can just chew into the microphones.
I'm going to slowly lick mashed potatoes.
No, okay, never. It's a vibe.
It's a vibe. It really is. Oh my gosh, okay.
All right, well, thank you for tuning in and we'll see you next time.
On this bad trip. Potato trip.